Andre?
Good.
Good.
Thank you. It's awesome you came over, man. Register to win World of Tanks Xbox One at the KFAN booth
at training camp. Details at KFAN.com, keyword contest. Hot.
Hot. Joe Perovich is guiding the Great Ship Love Covenant back at FM 100.3 The Fan. On-site producer Eric Nordquist, Jordan Struck with Vikings.com and the Vikings Entertainment Network here filming this for Vikings.com related purposes. And Paul Charchian is the co-host. I'm Paul Allen. Welcome back to Mankato, where we are joined now by one of my very favorites in the Covenant. He is Vikings defensive line coach Andre Patterson. How you been?
Good, good. How are you?
Good, thank you. You analyzed the game, the victory over Pittsburgh. You run the defensive line. You analyzed it from A to Z. Just stream your consciousness. What are some things that jumped out positively and or negatively?
Well, I think the number one thing that jumped out at me is that we were very physical up front. And that was real good to see. I think the way Coach Zimmer has laid out our practice schedule since we've been here, that we've had real physical practices, and you saw it show up in the game. And then number two, we ran to the ball. We looked fast on defense, not just the D-line, but the whole core defense. So I think those were the two biggest things that stood out on the positive side. And I think on the negative side is that we got to continue to progress as pass rushers. That's something for me that I want us to be on the top end of this league. And, you know, Pittsburgh kind of set a little differently as the game went on, but you can see the guys start to make an adjustment later in the second half.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of Danielle Hunter because I want to, we've seen him in pads, so we haven't seen him in real game action. Watch him a lot. You gave him a long look in this game. It felt like he was on for the better part of three quarters. I evaluated it one way, but I don't want to make myself frankly look bad when you can give the real evaluation here. How'd you feel like he did in his first NFL action?
I think he did okay. You know, he played 60 plays.
Jeez.
And there was 63. Well,
what are you doing, trying to kill the guy early, Andre? My God, he's 20. I know he has energy, but come on.
Hey, he's 20 years old, so he can run. Yeah. He can run all day. He played a lot of plays, and he did some good things, and he did some things that we got to keep working on him being able to improve. But I think the unique thing about this young man is most people look at him and think he's a pass rusher.
That's
only
what I see. Yeah.
And he played the run outstanding. You know, you saw him handle double team blocks. You seen him take their big 6'9" tackle and squeeze him down on one leg and make some tackles. So run game wise, he was very impressive to me. Then, you know, pass rush wise, you could see his speed and his quickness, but he had success against their starting left tackle, who's a shorter guy.
Yeah.
And then the second string guy came in. He's 6'9" and long. And so, you know, he had to make an adjustment. How do I get around this big dude that's turning sideways on me and not giving me a lot of room? And so that was a great experience for him. And that's why I played him so long, because he has to play in order to become the player we hope he can be.
Does Coach Zimmer give you the discretion to make those defensive line personnel changes throughout the game?
Yeah, except for with the ones.
Except for the ones, okay.
So when he tells me to get them out, I get them out.
That's it, okay. So
when the other guys came in, then I decided who was going to run at that point. But, you know, my whole thing was, I know he needs to play in order to give himself a chance to see the difference in the NFL game.
Andre, Danielle Hunter, you were the former defensive line coach for the Denver Broncos. And when you were there, Elvis Dumervil had just come into the league. Now, I'm not trying to go Baby Jordan, Harold Miner, Michael Jordan, Jake Plummer, Joe Montana on it, but with what you saw early from Elvis Dumervil, from what you see physically now with Daniil, can you draw a comparison between the two?
Yeah, I can. I was on the table big time with Coach Shanahan to take Elvis. You know, and Elvis was kind of a little different scenario than D is, you know, because Elvis is shorter. He's barely 6 feet. You know, he only ran 4.9 at the combine, but he's got arms of a 6'5" guy. And then when I watched him on tape, his rush angles were always on point. Mm. And so, you know, I begged to take him. And the one thing that, you know, that I said to Coach Shanahan at that time was, is if we took this guy as a nickel rusher his first year, you know, he could give us seven to eight sacks.
Jeez.
And that's exactly what he did as a nickel rusher. Then the next year we started him and the rest is history. Now, I'm not saying D is Elvis Dumervil.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is his God-giving talent, his speed, his athleticism, his strength, all compute and to being a guy that can be that kind of guy for us in those situations. Now, what we've got to do is help bring his game along. At some point, the light's going to come on because he's such a hard worker. He takes notes on everything you say. He works his tail off, and it's important to him. So you know at some point that guy is going to get it. You just have to wait until the light comes on. I got to keep telling myself to be patient.
Yeah.
Because I can see what's going to happen, and I'm trying to make it happen. Yeah. But I got to let it take its course.
So while we're talking about Daniil, you know, what if you're in a perfect world, what kind of rotation do you see him having this season?
Yeah, that's why we focus on it so much, because we know for you, Coach Edwards, and ultimately the head coach, that third defensive end spot, it's one of the most important roles on the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the thing that ends up happening is if the light comes on, it gives us so many options, because now you have the ability to put him and Griff outside and B-Rob inside. You have, you know, you have the ability to put Griff inside and him and B-Rob outside. I mean, there's so many different things that you can do to cause the offense some issue that if it happens, it makes us so much better. And then, I mean, early in camp, there was a time when, you know, B-Rob was only getting two reps and we were bringing him along.
Yeah.
And, you know, JT was getting the reps out there with the ones, we in the nickel. Well, I think it was like maybe the second or third day in pads. I said, okay, D, go out there. So it was D and Griff coming off the edge. And that speed was so quick.
Yeah.
And the pocket closed on the quarterback so fast that it makes those two defensive tackles so much better. And that's what we're trying to get.
Well, you mentioned JT, who is Justin Tracho. You know, I could argue if you wanted to line him up 1 through 175, 168, who played in the whole game. Tracho would be top 3 to top 5 for my money. I mean, early in the game you used him, so I would imagine he's probably going against the 2s. Then late in the game he's going against the 3s. And he was, I don't know how many snaps he played, but I thought Justin had a really good night at Canton. But the thing I like most about him is quietly the veteran who was on the practice squad for the Giants when they won the Super Bowl. He recognizes, okay, I know they drafted Crichton. I know they drafted Daniil Hunter in the third round. Likewise for Crichton. I'm not going to eliminate myself from this third defensive end race. And if they're going to cut me, I'm going to put something on tape that means somebody else is going to get me and I'm going to play.
No question. And he's been that way since day one of camp. And he got two series against their starting offensive line. Mm. And then he played the whole time against their second offensive line. And then I only rushed him in the nickel late in the game when their third offensive line went in. And he is focused. He does things the way I coach him to get it done. He will play hard all day. And like I told him, make the decision hard on us. That's your job.
That's sweet.
Is to go out there every day and do what you're doing and play great and make the decision hard on us. And that's what he's doing. And if he can do that for four more preseason games, then he makes a decision hard for Rick and
good
and Zim.
Yeah.
And not for me, because I like it. Right? but that's the only thing that he can control is how he plays. And he's got the right frame of mind right now.
Yeah, Rick needs a little confusion in his life.
That's good for everybody involved. That's right.
Daniil played, I believe, the whole game on the right side. But, you know, when you're using a young guy, do you give him reps on both sides? Is it something you can just automatically flip a guy? Tell me a little bit about, you know, for both ends, what do you do in terms of coaching them one side versus the other side? Do you want them to be effectively ambidextrous?
Yes, I do. And he played the last two series of the game on the left.
Okay.
So the one sack he missed late in the game,
yeah,
he was on the left side on that. You know, so him and Justin are making those two learn how to play both left and right in. And I've been doing that with both those guys since we've come to Mankato. Mm. And, again, to give us an opportunity to get our best four rushers on the field.
Can you feel already that this defensive line communicates better and is more cohesive than it was last year?
Oh, for sure. They have a much better understanding of what we're trying to achieve defensively. You know, I sell all the time that we get sacks because we rush together. And you know, I was so proud of Everson last year because when he started to get notoriety for what he did, he said that to the media. You know, I got these because of what my other guys in the room do. And that's how you build up big sack totals, is that you have to learn how to rush together. If you got four guys out there desperately on their own trying to get to the quarterback, you open up too many seams.
And, yeah.
You know, I got to understand who's rushing next to me in order to keep the quarterback trapped in the pocket to give us a chance.
With Everson, you know, he got paid quite handsomely into the season, but he's still kind of an under the radar. He was still kind of an under the radar player that is not going to make offensive coordinators look at early in the season and say, okay, I got to worry about this guy wrecking the game. Well, after 12 sacks, do you think that the approach taken to Everson will be different this year? More double teams and chips and stuff?
About week 7 or 8,
yeah,
the whole world changed for
really?
Griff. Last year. I mean, last year, they started protecting him like he was a big-time guy. Mm-hmm. You know, they would not leave the tackle one-on-one. He was either getting chipped by the running back or tight end chipping his way out or sliding the guard over to him. Mm. So they treated him like he was an elite pass rusher about the last 8 games of the season. And so they know what kind of player he is.
Andre Patterson, defensive line coach, Minnesota Vikings, 9 to noon on FM 100.3 The Fan, is at Vikings training camp in Fankato.
Sharif Floyd made a big jump last year to the year prior. What do you attribute to his improved play, and what do you want to see from him to take the next step?
Well, I think he bought into what we're trying to teach. Two things. Number one, and I told PA this earlier, you know, when I got here, I watched a tape on him, and he was 315 pounds his first year. Well, then I went back and watched a tape of him at Florida, and there was a different guy on film. So I called him in. I said, hey, man, how much did you weigh when you were at Florida? He said, 285. I said, well, wow. How much did you weigh right here? He said, 315. I said, well, I want that guy. I want the 285-pound guy. I don't want the 315 guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy I want to coach.
All right.
So he lost weight and came into camp last year around 290, 287. And so the quickness came back.
Yeah.
And then the adjustments we made on his technique, you know, he bought in. And to me, the light came on for Sharif in the Tampa game. The Tampa game was when the light came on last year, and you were able to see that explosive, powerful, quick guy that can affect the game in the run and versus the pass. And so it's disappointing that he hurt his knee late in because I really believe he would have finished last year around 8 to 9 sacks if he would have played the whole season healthy.
What, did he have 4.5?
He had 4.5, yeah. You know, and you had those games where, you know, where he wasn't healthy and he tried to fight through them, but he's come out here and he hasn't lost a step of where he's left the season last year. And we're still working on some little things for him to continue to improve. So, you know, I think my biggest thing for him is to see him continue to get better every single day, because the Vikings have not seen the best of Sharif Floyd yet. There's a lot of talent in that guy, and my job is to bring it out. And I'm going to do everything in my power to bring it out. And I tell him all the time, I've been blessed to coach some really good three techniques.
I was just going to ask you that. I mean, because you've been coaching now the better part of 20 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, you coached John Randall.
John, all the way back to John Randall.
I coached Johnny.
Is he the best tackle that you've ever coached?
Oh, hands down. He's the best D tackle I've ever coached. You know, I had Leroy Glover also, and, you know, Leroy was a
very
perennial Pro Bowl three technique too. And so that's what I told Sharif, you know, that you know, you've got to become my next great one. And, you know, so you got to make that happen. I'm going to stay on you every single day until we can make that happen. And hopefully he can get to that point.
Who's the best end you've coached?
I would have to say Chris Dolman.
You know,
Chris Dolman and Greg Ellis.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah, very
and,
good.
And Elvis Dumervil's in that conversation, too. You know, so I've been very fortunate. You know, it was real fun at the Hall of Fame. You know, I heard somebody yelling on the sideline doing pregame, where's Dre?
Yeah.
And then I looked around, there was Johnny, you know. So
I
stood
great.
Out there with him for an hour before the game, and he's telling my son stories, and you know, about stuff that I said to him and all that kind of stuff. So
you want royalties for the headphones, don't you? Beats by the defensive line coach.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Andre, the guy who plays next to Sharif Floyd, Linval Joseph, how different is it for him now compared to last year? I know I can't remember exactly what it is. I think it was a shoulder, maybe even shoulder surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But, you guys, he was the big free agent move last year, and he missed a fair amount of the offseason program. Then we had the unfortunate incident after the Raiders preseason game where he was shot outside of that club. So what was it like with Linval last year compared to this year?
It's night and day difference, because he didn't get to go through any OTAs. He didn't get to go through any mini camp because he was coming off of shoulder surgery. So the first time I actually got to put my hands on him was out here in Mankato.
Mm.
And so he was out here practicing 2 weeks and getting better. And then, you know, then the deal happened with his leg. And so then he didn't do anything until we played the first regular season game.
Yeah.
You know, so In New York, they play their guard, their tackle, D tackles left and right. So if the tight end's to you, you were a three technique.
Okay.
If the tight end's away from you, you're a G inside the guard.
Yeah.
They didn't cover the center. So he was learning how to do that here for the first time. Mm. So about the last five or six games of the season last year, you start to see what kind of guy Linville could be. And he's come back in camp and played outstanding.
Andre, in closing, 30 seconds, you get it all. Shamar Stephan and Tom Johnson. I mean, they played significant roles for you last year. Tom had a career-best 6.5 sacks. And Shamar Stephan was a seventh-round pick from UConn. He basically played every game. Granted, had no tackles for loss or sacks. You know, but I bet you that changes this year. From afar, it looked like they had really good debuts in Canton.
No, they both played really well. And I was really happy to see Shamar have some success rushing the passer. You know, the thing that Shamar gave us last year is he could go in and play the run at both nose and three technique. And he's worked really hard over the summer to improve himself as a pass rusher. And that was the next phase he needed in his game. And, you know, and Tom has taken the alignments and the techniques that we teach here and has run with those. And you could see that it was real tough for their guys to block him in the Hall of Fame game.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for the thoughtful and loquacious answers. And best of luck of keeping all the guys healthy in the Tampa game, okay?
Well, thanks, Pete. You know, I've always got time for you, man.
Thank you, Andre. Andre Patterson, defensive line coach, Minnesota Vikings, rookie wide receiver, punt returner, Stephon Diggs, next.